So we're continuing our worship emphasis, a New Year's worship emphasis, as we get back to basics. And we're looking at some basic ways to remain, to abide in a life-giving relationship with God, and seeing those basic ways in the membership vow of the United Methodist Church, which calls us to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, and our witness. And we began last week with this idea of supporting the ministries of the church with our prayers as one of these basic ways of being in relationship with God. And we learned from Jesus, as we looked at his teaching on prayer, that prayer doesn't have to be fancy. It's simple, it's authentic, it's intimate, it's honest, it's trusting. And Jesus invites us to be bold and audacious in our prayers for ourselves and for our church and for others. And so we move to the second of these most basic ways of being in relationship with God, and it's this idea of presence. Presence here and presence there. There's a story told of a dad who goes to his preschool son's school for a take your dad to preschool day. And when he gets there, he's a little surprised that there aren't more dads there. But they move through the activities that they have for the dads to do in the classroom. And one of those is they gather in a circle in the classroom. Everybody's sitting on the floor. And the teacher asks the kids to say, "What's special about your dad?" And one of the children says, "My dad is really important. He's a lawyer and he makes a lot of money." And another little girl said, "My dad's really smart. He's a teacher and lots of important people know him." And when it came time for this dad's child to speak, he saw his son look at him with a big smile on his face. And then he looked at his friends with that same big smile and he said, My dad's here." His presence mattered to his son. And I want to say to you today, your presence matters. Your presence matters here, and your presence matters there. And Jesus helps us to understand why and how in these words that come from the Sermon on the Mount. These words about salt and light. Now, these words are preceded by what's come to be known as the Beatitudes. And I want us to be reminded of what it says in the Beatitudes. So if you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to take out your Bible and turn to chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. If you don't have your Bible with you, take one of the Bibles out of the seat back in front of you. And I can tell you where you need to turn, because Gail already told us. It's on page 4 of the New Testament section of that Bible that's in the seat back in front of you, chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to look at beginning with verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What we have here, Thomas Long has said about the Beatitudes. Thomas Long is a teacher of preachers and has written a commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. And what we have here, he says, is an illustration of what the kingdom of God looks like. Blessing and peace and comfort will come upon those who have been stepped on, downtrodden. But he also says about this passage and how it relates to the church that lives according to the vision expressed in the Beatitudes is a colony of the kingdom of God placed in the midst of an alien culture. So then Jesus continues, and one of the reasons why Gail read from the Message is I love how Eugene Peterson transitions here in his paraphrase of this. He says, here is your purpose. What exactly did it say, Gail, those first words? I've just lost it suddenly. This is why you're here. Listen, let me tell you why you're here. It's about purpose. Why you are here. You are salt. You are light. Not you're going to be salt one day. You're going to be light one day. But you are salt. You are light. Now, salt in Jesus' day was a very valuable commodity. It would sometimes take the place of coinage. Salt, you might imagine, was used as a flavoring. Salt was a preservative, but I learned recently that salt was also used as a fertilizer. Isn't that interesting? And in fact, it wasn't just in Jesus' time. During World War II in Great Britain, farmers, because fertilizer was in very short supply, farmers used sodium chloride, common table salt, and mixed it into the soil for their crops, particularly beetroot crops, because just a little bit of salt enhances the nutrients in the soil and will keep down the weeds and create a space, create soil that is productive. I find that fascinating. Now, salt by itself, salt stored away, doesn't have any value. Salt's value comes as it is applied to other things. Salt has to be scattered and mixed in. And Jesus is saying here, you are the salt of the earth. And if disciples are the salt of the earth, then that means that disciples need to get in there in the earth, in the dirt, and move and create all kinds of possibility and subtly change the character of the soil. Now, everybody knows if you start working in the dirt, things are going to get messy. It got a little messy for Meryl Streep this week. Maybe you watched the Golden Globes and you heard her speech. Or maybe you just saw all the hubbub around the speech for the next couple of days after that. Maybe you were in conversations. I was in several different conversations about her speech. Read lots of op-ed pieces in response to her speech. But the one that I found most helpful was actually written by my friend and colleague, Eric Folkerth. Eric is the pastor of North Haven United Methodist Church in Dallas. And here's what he said in response to Meryl Streep's speech on Monday. He said, why not take the kernel of powerful truth that Meryl Streep spoke last night and build on that? That kernel being two powerful thoughts. That one of the most abiding human traits is to have empathy with others. Empathy, the ability to walk in someone else's shoes. That one of the most powerful things artists do is to turn heartbreak into art. Those two thoughts, there is much positive there. He goes on to talk about the metaphors that she used in her speech, Hollywood, foreign press, and that's what a lot of the pushback was against, was the use of those terms. But he says, then, it doesn't seem to me that any of those three were her primary point. Her primary point is that all of us who engage in art, all of us who engage in persuasion, all of us who engage in callings that seek to engage the human soul, we have the ability to engender, foster, and give birth to empathy, kindness, and compassion. Now, some might say that it's too late, the horse is out of the barn on that thing. And the idea that our culture is going to return to a time when empathy and kindness and compassion were the rule of the day, it's too late. It's not going to happen. But I would remind us what Thomas Long has said about the church. He said, "The church that lives according to the vision expressed in the Beatitudes is a colony of the kingdom of God placed in the midst of an alien culture. We are called to be those who are countercultural." And let me tell you, you don't have to be someone who has a lot of perceived power or visibility or who's up in front of people all the time to be someone who lives in that way. You simply have to be someone who understands that we have the responsibility as disciples of Jesus Christ to be the salt of the earth wherever we go. To understand that we carry the presence of Christ wherever we go. And I want to tell you, I know many of you understand that. You understand that you carry this presence of Christ into the places where you work, your offices, your classrooms, in the organizations that you belong to, in your families, in your neighborhood, even in the grocery store. You understand that we are called to carry the presence of Christ, to be the salt of the earth wherever we go. And I also want to tell you that I think that the people of Vista Ridge United Methodist Church do that all the time through the community partnerships that we have between Vista Ridge and so many other organizations around us. In your bulletin today, there is an insert that lists just some of those community partnerships with Arbor House and Vista Ridge Nursing and Rehab in Evergreen, with the Carter Blood Care, with Christian Community Action, with Denton County Friends of the Family, with Market Street, with Rockbrook Elementary, with the Salvation Army, with Touched by Suicide. Those are all places where the people of Vista Ridge are partnering in the community and working in the soil of our community to do all kinds of things, even in places where it gets messy. Let me tell you, those of you who volunteer at Rockbrook Elementary, you know some of those children come out of very messy situations. And yet, you are telling those children that they matter, their presence matters. Those of you who work at the Salvation Army, you know that that's a ministry that is in the midst and the mess of what it means to be homeless for many of those folks. Those of you who are a part of the traveling ministry that goes to Vista Ridge Nursing and Rehab and Arbor House every week, you know that's a messy place. You know that sometimes those nursing homes, they're uncomfortable because the people there are in a place that's just hard and lonely. And yet, I want to tell you, our traveling ministry, week in, week out, they were even there. That photo there, go back to that one back, Maggie. That photo there that you just saw very quickly, that's from Christmas morning. Our traveling ministry went on Christmas morning to Vista Ridge Nursing and Rehab and Arbor House. When many of us were at home with our families, they were there to bring the good news, to bring music, to bring story, to bring gift, and to say to those people who live at Arbor House and Vista Ridge Nursing and Rehab and to the staff, your presence matters to God and to us so much that we're here with you. Now, what we know is that this kind of work can be wearying. To be salt, to be light, to be people of compassion and empathy and kindness can sometimes feel like you're swimming against the current. It can wear you out, especially if you feel like you're doing it all alone. But there are two metaphors here. There is salt and there's light. Salt has to be gathered and scattered to be effective. But light is most effective when it's gathered together. Your presence matters here. It matters here as we come together to worship together. What if we were to see worship as that time when we come together and we celebrate the good things that God is doing that we've seen out in the world? We come to celebrate what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of the people we love. What if we saw worship as a time when we come together to be fueled up and lit up to go out into the world? What if worship was that time when we understood that we are stronger together than we are apart? What if we understood that worship is that time when we bring the light together to shine as a beacon in a dark world? Your presence matters here because the light is not as strong if you're not here. We miss you when you're not here. Your presence matters here. Jesus says that what disciples do makes a difference. Jen Hatmaker is another one of my most favorite writers right now. She lives in Austin, and she is a brilliant, funny, insightful, thoughtful writer about being a Jesus follower and being a mom to five kids and being in a marriage and being a preacher's wife and being a speaker. And she's just hilarious. If you've never read her, she's just so much fun to read. And she can also write in such a way that it just gets you right here. And this past week, she posted in response to the shootings at the Fort Lauderdale airport and all of the visuals about the event in Chicago. And this is what she said. What a weary world. This scrap of earth needs so much hope and love. It is in a hope and love deficit. Spending in the red, grief upon grief, loss upon loss. Broken hearts beget broken lives, and we find ourselves at another funeral, another trial, another national tragedy. I so deeply believe that we have our finger on the thermostat. We can turn it all up. The compassion, the mercy, the practice of presence, so important because people are so lonely. The kindness. We can change the temperature. Jesus already told us this. He told us how to warm up this tired, cold world, and he showed us how. Love God. Love people. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the merciful. Touch the outcasts and care for the hurting. Find the most broken, busted up folks, the lonely, sad, suffering ones, the ones everyone hates or bullies, and love them like it is a paying job. And the thermostat slowly inches up. It is all we can do. We can warm up the air around us. You handle your little corner. And I'll work on mine. This is our work, and it isn't small. Fingers on the thermostat. Inch it up with all the compassion and empathy and grace and kindness and mercy we can muster. It matters. Your presence matters. You are salt. You